Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I'm talking to Jeff Dowder, Assistant Professor of Mechanical Physics at Caltech University, about the FBI and the FBI's restructuring after 9/11. According to the head of the FBI, we need a different approach that puts prevention above all else. They are shifting resources now. The FBI is shifting resources away from...
Shifting resources away from catching drug dealers and stuff.
Right. They're shifting resources away from drug dealers and that kind of stuff and into crime and terror. They're shifting it from drugs and crime to terror.
Right. Basically, they're becoming a terrorist fighting group. And my point is that the FBI, for the longest time, has come down on legitimate marijuana growers like myself who grow marijuana for the medicinal purposes of cancer and glaucoma, too. And I got rousted by the FBI in 1987, again in 1988, and again in 1994 for growing marijuana on my personal property. Now, I only use it for medicinal reasons. I have suffered from arthritis for the last 10 years, and I had a bout of prostatitis. My wife uses it for back spasms that she's had. The reason why they rousted us is I don't know why.
Well, were you selling?
We were making the drug available to people who had medicinal reasons. And they claimed that we sold the drug to people who were under 18. Maybe I did. I don't know.
Well, do you think that's appropriate?
We make the herb available to anyone who has a medical problem. And I'm not about to sit here, Mr. Hendry, and tell you that I'm not going to sell it to someone just because they're under the age of 18 who is in psychic pain. Most kids today don't get along with their parents. Their parents are absentee parents. Their parents inflict physical violence on them. Their parents a lot of times won't let them go out and just do stuff that kids do. They make them stay home. And that inflicts a level of psychic pain and psychosomatic pain on a young person. So what, am I not supposed to...
Wait a minute. You're selling pot to kids because they're upset with their mother and father for not letting them stay out.
What I'm talking about is real pain, whether it's psychological or whether it is physical. Young people are just like people. Kids are people, too. Kids are people, too. If you remember the old Wonderama show, they used to say kids are people, too. Okay?
Yeah, I know that Wonderama show. Kids are people, too.
Well, they are. They're people, too.
Okay. So you sell them dope?
Certainly, I don't sell anybody dope. I give people a means to control their pain. And these poor kids who their dad yells at them. One kid came to us in tears. He was going to go to a Sadie Hawkins Day dance at his high school, and that means the girl asks you out. Well, this girl asked him out. He didn't have no car, and he wanted to use his dad's car. The father said no. The kid was humiliated in front of the girl, became extremely moody, extremely depressed. We did an intervention with him.
All right, when you say you do an intervention, I want to know this, okay?
That I'm just saying the FBI come down on this, and I say that the fascist tactics of the FBI, in a lot of ways...
Wait a minute, I want to get to something.
A lot of ways I understand how Al-Qaeda feel the way they do.
Wait a minute. You understand how Al-Qaeda feels the way they do?
In a lot of ways. I'm not condoning 9/11, but I understand how the Al-Qaeda can feel the way they do, the way the FBI come down on me.
I want to ask you a question, and then I'll get to that statement, that inflammatory statement, in a moment.
It's not inflammatory. It's honest.
I want to ask you a question. You call giving this kid an intervention. Some kid came to you. He was moody and depressed because he couldn't use his dad's car.
He was depressed to the point of suicidal.
Why don't you send him off to an agency that can deal with it?
We deal with it. I mean, what do you want me to do? You want me to send him over to some psychiatrist going to pull him through a... pump them full of dopamine, norepinephrine, some kind of antidepressant. The herb. That's all you need. and then send some kid over to some psycho clinic where they're going to pump him full of Desiree or give him some Xanax or Halcyon or whatever other kind of neurotransmitter manipulating devil drug. The only thing you need is the herb. And we have it and we give it to them.
And you give dope to kids?
Kids that are in pain on account of their parents don't understand them. The herb is natural. In many ways, it's God's aspirin. And
God's aspirin.
Well, you dismiss it, Mr. Henry, because my understanding was you used to smoke the herb, but now you've put it down because you're like Mr. Alcohol now. Yeah, that's...
You know, that's my business, all right? And I'll tell you one thing I ain't doing with booze. I ain't giving it to kids. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. So, and Jeff Dowder's with us here, the assistant of professor of mechanical physics.
That's right.
So you have a you disseminate marijuana to people because they're in pain. The FBI came down on your operation, right?
Yeah, in 1994. And I can tell you, Mr. Henry, what I was doing essentially was making the herb available to people. I was not no dope dealer. And here comes the FBI. They searched my house, messed up my couch. They also messed up. We got two sheds out back where I don't have no pot in that shed at all. Just keep tools. They messed that up. And in a lot of ways, they've done the same thing to Al-Qaeda. I don't agree. Okay.
Oh, here we go. We get to this point you were trying to make about Al-Qaeda.
I don't agree with what happened on 9/11. But the FBI infringes upon the rights of legitimate people who are trying to help out. And in a lot of ways, I can understand Al-Qaeda being angry at them.
Look at man, if you're dealing drugs to kids, okay?
I'm not, but that's the difference. I'm not. I'm using marijuana as a medicinal agent.
So you're medicinally treating kids
because of the... If you talk to any parent out there, they think they understand their kid. They don't. I understand their kid. I understand the teenagers out there dealing with their parents who don't understand them. I understand them. And that's why I give a kid... The FBI come into my house, screwed up my couch cushions like they screwed up the caves of the Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, okay, man.
But you see, you don't understand it because you don't have any communication with your kids. I do.
I got communication with my kids enough.
Well, a lot of these people don't. And where's a kid going to turn to if he can't talk to his parents? You can come to me. I'll give them the herb. It'll change their heads around, get their thinking just, you know, really nice. Really nice. You know, right down the middle on that.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. This guy is Jeff Dowder. He was dealing marijuana as a medicinal agent to young people who are in psychic pain over their relationships with their parents. FBI come down on him. And now he says that, you know, they're a bunch of, it's like a fascist state or something. 1-800-449-8686. You know, I got to ask him one question here. Mr. Dowder, I want to ask you something.
Yes, sir?
Are you still doing it?
Maybe. Maybe I'm not.
Okay, so in other words, the police have reason to arrest you again.
Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. I'll tell you one thing right now, that it's going to take a little more than the FBI to slow me down.
So you're still dealing dope to kids?
Good luck.
You don't want to tell me, huh?
Good luck.
1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Bob, what's up?
Yeah, Phil, I was watching the Osbournes the other night. I wanted to mention something that I think is going to be beneficial to a lot of your listeners. You know, I heard this young man talking about marijuana, and I understand that marijuana does, in fact, aid people who have glaucoma. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, that's right.
Well, I wanted to contribute at least a little bit to funding people who are desperately ill, either from
vision impaired conditions or from...
Well, we're talking about marijuana being sold to kids right now.
Well, I understand that, but I wanted to bring this back to a place where we can all heal.
What's he talking about?
What are you talking about?
Well, I was watching the Osbournes the other night. It's a very ingenious show. It's very funny. I guess Sharon Osbourne saw human interest potential in her husband, whom, after many years of hard living and rock and roll, is a little bit hearing and a little bit chemically imbalanced.
Yeah, I know about the Osbournes. We all do. What about it?
Well, I know how compelling that show is and how we do need to get educated as to the effects of drugs, and that's why I think this young man being on your program is making some sense. But I think we also can make money by helping other people, blind people, deaf people, the handicapped, and I've been talking to a few agencies. One is a home for the sight impaired, another is a school for the deaf, another is a center where physically handicapped people refurbish old furniture.
Okay, so what about it?
Well, here's where I think we've got an ingenious idea. We can take cameras, and we can put those cameras into the home for the deaf or into this home for the blind, and you learn what it is like to be those people.
You talk about a reality show?
You're talking about a reality show, right?
Yes, absolutely, a reality show.
Well, I mean, it's way more interesting to see the Osbournes or Anna Nicole Smith.
What would be compelling about putting a camera into a home for the blind or a home for the deaf?
Well, here's the thing, Phil. While we expose and show people what it's like to live in the terrible twilight world of being deaf or being blind, I got to tell you something. I saw some of the raw footage that we shot, and it's actually very funny. In other words, think about it.
About the blind people?
What's funny about it?
Well, if you think about it, you are in a home for the blind, and they don't see very well. So some of them, you can hear...
What is that?
People are bumping into things. I mean,
oh, come on.
No, that is absolutely...
Yeah, but you're exploiting them.
Oh, I don't know, man.
No, we're not exploiting them. What we're doing is we're showing people the world of the blind, what it's like to be a part of... Hold on. We're dropping some things.
Where are you right now, man?
I'm over... Well, right now, I'm in Sierra Madre. Okay, and now I'm on my way over to Pasadena, but we've been talking to some of these places where there are people who are vision impaired.
Are those people falling down?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to tell you. If you go into a home where there are blind people, they fall down a lot.
So you want to put a camera in there and videotape this?
I'm sorry?
You want to put a camera in there and videotape this?
So you want to put a camera in and show everybody the effects of being blind?
Yes.
But you say at the same time it's very funny. Doesn't this focus on a potentially dangerous mishaps?
No, this is what the Osbournes is about. It's all in fun looking at these sort of loopy, unpredictable people. All right, now, but there aren't too many Osbournes. You put together these deaf and blind people along with the ones in a wheelchair, you video it.
What's the attraction of videoing a guy in a wheelchair?
A lot of these wheelchair-bound veterans work in these shops where they refurbish clothing, they refurbish furniture.
So you're going to... All right, so you videotape veterans.
Or you can put a camera in the VA hospital.
You put a camera where?
You can put a camera in the VA hospital.
What does that do?
Well, you're looking at veterans in the VA hospital. A lot of them don't... You know,
Well, you're talking about guys that got war wounds, like one leg or no legs.
Right. But, Phil, while it's a tragedy and a terrible, terrible tragedy, Jesus. See, that was,
What is that?
That's a blind guy falling downstairs?
Yes. Well, let me ask you something. And I'm only going to say this, and I don't mean to be cruel, all right? Have either one of you guys ever seen a guy in a wheelchair try to go downstairs? I mean, it's a riot.
Oh, yeah, that's a real riot.
No, but you're not doing anything other than exposing it at the same time. You're making...
What is that, man?
It looked like people are falling down.
No, it was just a guy. Sorry.
Are you in a home...
Say that again, sir.
Are you in a home for the blind right now?
And they're falling all over the place. This is what happens when you go into a blind house.
those people.
Let me tell you something. Sight problems, the problems what make you blind, they affect millions of people every second. And we can help. Look at this.
Now, where are the people that help people there?
Yeah, where are the people, like the nurses? They're having dinner right now. What are these people?
I
didn't hear you.
What are they trying to do? Who's hitting? What's with that can?
Some guy with a little wig or something. I don't know.
Can you move outside? Can you move outside?
Yeah, I'll try. All right. Okay. He's a deaf and blind guy, so
can you get outside?
I'm outside.
So you're trying to tell me that you are in a home for the blind and those are all people falling downstairs and...
Yes, yes. And if we put a camera in here, it's gold.
Man, that sounds hardcore. That's very harsh.
What do you mean harsh?
What we're saying, Bob, is that videotaping a poor...
Blind man?
A poor blind man's inability to go down.
Oh.
What was that?
That was me.
Oh, that was you.
Yes. Look, Phil, what I'm trying to tell you and what I'm trying to tell your listeners is something very simple. Every day, the vision impaired, the hearing impaired people, the veterans of foreign wars, individuals who are handicapped in any level of life, they have to really go through extraordinary means to make their day work, to make their job work, to simply go from their home to the bus stop. And I think it would be a very compelling story to tell if we put cameras that are candid cameras that are there capturing for all of the world to see the goings-ons, the doings, the every second, every minute, every hour of their day to show what a struggle it is and what, Phil, a heroic struggle it is. And that's why I propose to put cameras into these homes where our poor vision-impaired people are, our poor hearing-impaired people, and, yes, into VA hospitals. I don't think it's exploitive. I think it makes for compelling and interesting television. And at the same time, we can take that money and put it into refurbishing these homes. Like on Cops or a lot of these reality shows, they don't really do anything with the money that they make commercially to reinvigorate the very thing that is the focus of their attention.
Well, I mean, what you think MTV's going to give Ozzy Osbourne, help him paint his house?
Well, but they pay Ozzy Osbourne, don't they?
Well, that's true.
All right. But what we would do is we would help to refurbish and reinvigorate a lot of these wonderful institutions that help the blind, help the deaf, and help our veterans. And at the same time, there he goes. Wow. But what at the same time we can do, Phil, is we can help these people.
All you're going to be doing is video.
Yeah, but look at this. It's happening all around me all the time, see? I just walked back in.
You'll just be videotaping people going downstairs?
What?
You'll be videotaping people falling downstairs.
Yeah. Listen, it's running. The camera will be running nonstop. These are all people going to bed.
Well, did they just have dinner?
Yeah, they just had dinner. Now all the blind people are heading off to bed, but unfortunately most of the bedrooms are downstairs. So once they hit the first step...
Well, what, are they going down the stairs or are they all falling down the stairs?
Well, they just all fall down. There goes another one. Here comes the 5 o'clock seating now. There they go. Good night!
Okay, that's great, Bob. Great! They're going to bed. All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Our website, philhendryshow.com, 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 in case you missed the first ever Phil Hendry Show webcast, by the way, a few months back. We got it archived on the site for you to enjoy. Not only can you watch me perform the show, but also as a bonus, watch all that goes on to the making of the show, the funniest thing on radio. Special feature, guess the celebrity ass. And oh yeah, check out our wall of female listeners and look at the pictures of the only 17 women that actually listen to our show. We only have 17 female listeners. All of their pictures are up on our website. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
I want to go one of them talking head TV shows and give my opinion about stuff.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay. I want to go one of them talking head TV shows, give my opinion about life's problems. You know? I looked at that E! Interview with me the other day, and I didn't look too bad. My beard was a little bit shorter then. Now I'm just grubby. I need a haircut. My wife's been out of town for a week. The whole place has gone to hell in a handbasket. My hair's too long. My beard's too long. My penis is... Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. And I think the idea of giving the FBI more latitude, by the way, is a great idea. Like I said at the beginning of the show, man, you gotta, when certain things happen, you gotta batten down the hatches a little bit. You know, you get involved in these luxurious conversations about civil liberties when some guy is sneaking into your house ready to blow your gas stove off of its foundation, ready to put a cherry bomb up the cat's rear end. That's what Al-Qaeda's doing now, you know? They're putting firecrackers in anthills. They're doing anything they can to mess us up. They're even messing up our anthills. But honest to God, at some point, and the discussions about civil liberties, what exactly do you want to have happen? I want to make sure that our civil liberties don't erode. Okay. Do you mind terribly that we stop and question individuals who we might suspect as being... having ill will or ill intent? Well, it depends on who you're stopping. But do you mind if can we profile in any way? Well, you better not racially profile, because that's all right. You understand that we had a terrible situation occur where 3,000 people were murdered in one fell swoop, and there's an organization out there that has sworn to destroy this country. Well, there are reasons for that. Forget about me getting... Let's not get into the reason. Well, there's reasons about American foreign policy, and if we sat down and dialogued some of these problems... Did you understand, man, that there's no dialoguing with these people? Ah, that's you. You're being you're very, very hegemonist, and you're being very militaristic, and you don't want to open your mind and your heart and your eyes to the very legitimate concerns and grievances of Osama bin Laden and his rich brothers and sisters. What? What exactly are we worried about here? The FBI is going to spy on our email and tap our phones. Well, when nothing they weren't doing in World War II. Everybody likes to look back on that as the great fight. They were tapping phones, spying on people, depriving people of their civil liberties left and right. Just exactly what kind of a war was that anyway? I heard it was a really righteous war, and it was. And I don't agree with what happened to the Japanese Americans, and I don't particularly like the idea that some people got rousted and thrown out of their jobs. And there's probably a better way of doing it, but you still got to do it. You still got to do it, man. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, as the saying goes. You still got to do that stuff. You got to tap phones, and you got to check into, hey, stuff that's going on the internet right now, what exactly are you telling me that it is such absolute vital value to the individual sending it, that it's a horrific invasion of their privacy if we tap into your goofy email that you send to you and your buddies, instant messaging each other on the latest, Dinosaur 3 game? What are you... If it was any other time, if it was any other place, if it was a different point in our history, I would totally get down with whatever anybody wants to say about keeping their noses out of our email and out of our internet access. But we just had an attack on American soil, first one of its kind in over 60 years. Come on. Civil liberties, what? You want to be able to wage a war and not suffer any consequence whatsoever, including the death of individuals like soldiers. It doesn't happen that way. This isn't that Star Trek episode, you know, where they put everybody into the meat grinder, but all the buildings still stood. Like, they want to do something a little bit different. They want to blow up buildings, but make sure everybody's still got their Cadillac. People now, including people who are arguing on behalf of civil liberty, and I believe me, man, I don't believe in depriving people of their rights, but something's got to give when you're involved in a war for the very survival of your country. And if you don't think that that's what's going on right here, well, I tell you what, man, next time they let one go inside of a shopping mall, next time they blow one up inside of an arcade, next time maybe one of your kids gets blown to bits and it happens to be in this country, you come crying to Phil. I'd love to hear it. That's exactly what's going on right now. And if they hadn't shut the airports down on 9/11, if the FAA had not shut every airport down in this country on 9/11, there would have been other aircraft taken. There would have been other people killed. Well, that was a violation of somebody's civil liberties. Now, wasn't it? People think you can fight a war and you don't feel any pain, you don't bleed, it doesn't hurt, it doesn't sting, we can just keep going with our lives, we can just move freely about the country, whatever we want to do, we can do whatever we want, be whatever we want, fart wherever we want, throw up wherever we want, and everything just moves right along as normal, nothing changes. Soldiers don't even die, because if we have one casualty, suddenly there's a subcommittee hearing on it. We want to be involved in a conflict to try to drive out Saddam Hussein with a minimum of casualties. Well, you know what? That flag that the Marines raised on Mount Suribachi, you know, the very famous painting. You know how many Marines died the day they hit the beach on Iwo Jima? 2,000. 2,000. 2,000 guys lost their lives in one day. You wouldn't see that picture of those guys pushing that flag up on Suribachi. You wouldn't have all those John Wayne movies if it wasn't for 2,000 guys who gave it up that day. Now we live in a time where if we have two or three or four or five, and I know what you're saying, easy for you to say, Henry, you're not even a soldier. No, you're right, I'm not. No, you're right. I give my blood other ways, all right? I give it up other ways. I'm too old. They want me, they can have me. They want to put a uniform on this old man, I'm there. So I got to give it up in other ways, okay? I'm a propagandist now. I'm a mouthpiece for my country now. I'm a mouthpiece for America now. Call it what you want. I don't care. But we live in a day and age now where it's one guy dies, two guys dies, three guys die. We got to have a subcommittee hearing. Why are there so many people dying? Why can't we go in, remove Saddam Hussein, remove Al-Qaeda? Why can't we get the Taliban out of there? Why can't we destroy all these terrorists and have nobody die? Why can't we do that? Well, I don't know, Mr. Wizard. Why don't you tell us how we can do that? Remember that show? You guys don't remember? Drizzle, drazzle, drazzle, drone. Time for this one to come. You don't remember Mr. Wizard? God, help me, Mr. Wizard. It was a turtle and a lizard, and forget it. Anyway, there was also the Mr. Wizard, which was the guy that was a guy, and kids would come to his house, and I don't even want to tell you now because it sounds too sick, but kids would come. I'm not kidding. I mean, most of you guys don't know the show, but it was on Saturday morning, Mr. Wizard, and the guy would make experiments in his kitchen. He had test tubes and beakers and boilers and Bunsen burners, and little kids would come over, "Hey, Mr. Wizard, what's going on today?" "Well, today, Billy, we're making rocket fuel. You see, when you pour this in," and he would do science experiments on Saturday morning. And then one day he goes, "And that creates Sandoz LSD. So let's try a little." And, they, you know, they do a couple of half window pane. It was great. You know, this, "Hey, Wizard, you got any?" "Yeah, Billy, come on in. I just cooked up." Guy's got a meth lab. That was the Mr. Wizard show. So we want to fight wars, and we want to do all this stuff. Today, by the way, Billy, we're making nitrous oxide.
"Golly, Mr. Wizard, that's great."
"Well, my voice slowed down." "Well, you know, put it in a balloon, take it down to the rave with Craig Taylor." All right, anyway, it's bullcrap. It's got to hurt. It's got to sting. We got to give it up a little bit. We got to go through a couple of, you know, a little dues paying over here. You don't just strap the pack to some guy's back, send him over to Afghanistan, have a nice trip, wave a little flag when he comes back. On the home front, things have to be sacrificed as well. Do I sound like some jive-ass, you know, history professor out of All Quiet on the Western Front? Well, maybe I do. What the hell do you think we're doing here anyway? We got these guys that want to make you and your kids die, and very soon. So if you send people to the front and you engage and you join the battle, well, the reverberation is felt all the way back home. There's certain things that we're going to have to put up with, including whether it's expanded FBI. We got a constitution. Martial law hasn't been called. We have recourse to the courts. We have a Congress. We can roll back certain laws and we can enact others. This is not Nazi Germany. Nobody has suspended the Bill of Rights. But in the time of great danger, something's got to give. So just shut up and let the FBI do what the hell we want to do, okay? Unless it's at my house, in which case, Those fascist bastards. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Yeah, man. This war on terror, we might be able to work it out. You know, we can kill all those guys over there and not miss a step. You know what I'm saying? Just everything's moving along. Every little downtick really drives people ape. Oh, the Dow, it went down below 10,000. Oh, no. Oil's up another 20 cents a gallon. Oh, God, not another, not another down weekend at the box office. You mean we haven't outperformed from last year? It's the other thing we got in this country. You gotta outperform last year. Gotta outperform last year. If you don't outperform last year, you're a loser. Just like that guy in The Hustler. Remember George C. Scott talking to Paul Newman? Eddie, you're a loser. Don't get more money from last year to this year, baby. There's something wrong, you know. We projected $88 billion, and we're only making $86 billion. 68 guys have got to lose their jobs. Well, our projection for the first quarter, and, of course, that's minus the bonuses we're getting. And did you see what happened over here at Viacom? It was beautiful. The stockholders, they almost lynched those two guys that run that company. They said, you guys, the price of the stock is down, and you guys are taking home bonuses around $10 million a year. What are you talking about? You got to sit up there and answer questions from stock. I would love to be the stockholder of a company just so I could burn some rich guy's ass one day. Of course, I might be the guy up there who's the rich guy that they got to burn. But I love that. They said, whoa, bro, what are you guys taking these big bonuses? What does it mean when a company is laying people off and they're paying bonuses of seven or eight figures to their executives? What exactly is that? Good business. That's what it is. 1-800-449-8686. Here's another, it's a $10 million bonus there, Charlie, because you know what? What? You saved us a whole lot of money by firing all those clowns. Thank you. You're welcome. Don't forget our website, philhendrieshow.com. Jeff, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
You know, you said you weren't, you're not a soldier, you haven't served in the military, but just listening to you about the last 10 minutes, I can say that you're speaking for myself and several dozen of my buddies. I'm not going to say you speak for the whole military, but...
why not?
Well, like, you know, what you said, people get so upset, you get so many cows, we got to pull out in Somalia after the firefight with 19 dead. The Rangers wanted to go back out. Rangers and Delta said, no, we'll get them this time. They wanted to go back out, but...
And the other thing about that...
They pulled us right out.
That other thing about that episode was that the Rangers were not driven out. They stayed because they wanted to... They wanted to retrieve equipment and protect those men. But they said we could have stayed there. There was no problem.
As a serving Ranger, yeah, one of the things we take... It's almost a sacred honor, a duty, in that you never leave a fallen comrade, and that's what they did.
You're living in a country right now, man, you know, and I think push comes to shove, we're going to all come to the table. There's no problem. But with 9/11 receding a little bit, Americans we continue the war on terror, but we still want to make sure that the milk delivery comes every morning, you know. And there is sacrifice. If you're talking about a real war, there's real sacrifice at home as well as on the front. Everybody loves to talk about World War II. Mm-hmm. People were rationing gasoline, rubber, all kinds of products here.
People don't see this as World War II, as a fight for our survival, but when you have a million people in a religion, and guess what? If 10% of them, 5% of them hate you and want to destroy you,
there you go.
You've got a good chance.
Yeah, that's pretty much where it's at. And if we think it's tough for us, imagine being in Israel right now, where you got about a half a billion Arabs want to drive a country of 5 million people into the sea. This is a mentally deranged group of people.
If you look at the casualties the Israelis have received in proportion to their population, as 9/11 in proportion to the U.S. population, it would have been the equivalent of 9/11 being, I can't remember.
Well, I know that they've
23,000 people.
Well, when they went into Jenin, when they went into the West Bank, I mean, I was reading dead, you know, like approaching 100 soldiers. I mean, you know, it was street house to house. It was the worst kind of urban warfare, that house to house street fighting. But they accept that in that country as the price of doing business, of staying a free people in that part of the world. So, you know,
I said it after
9/11, man. The Israel is our model. That's the model that we should go by from here on out.
If we want to survive as a nation, I just wanted to tell you that you are speaking for at least several dozen of my buddies as serving Rangers, and
you
keep it up, and you're doing more.
Well,
than
like I say to a lot of you guys,
I
hope that you never have to see combat, but if you do, I hope you're the guy who brings Bin Laden's head out of the cave on a stick. How about that?
I would have liked to. I came back from Afghanistan with an injury, but
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm all right. It's just a broken ankle. I'm fine.
What are you guys playing volleyball over there? Is that it?
Coming out of a bird, but
all right, dude. Thanks a lot,
Jeff. Take care, man. You keep it up, man.
Right,
I enjoy your comedy, and I enjoy your political commentary also.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. There's a Ranger who agrees with me.
So what are you going to do about it now? Huh? U.S. Ranger.
Agrees with me. Anybody, nothing other than I like living here. I'd like to live here a little bit longer, and somebody wants to take the whole thing away from me, and they ain't going to get to do it. I hope. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show here. Our website, as I was mentioning, is philhendrieshow.com. You go out there, you can check out all of our audio archives, jam-packed with classic material from throughout the years. Our Listen Live line, you can listen to me do the show live or on demand whenever your schedule permits, which I think is a very nice thing. You can also check out our 30-day archive. Hear any show from the past 30 days, you can listen to it in its entirety whenever you want. Our special feature, Guess the Celebrity Ass, also our wall of female listeners. And don't miss our Phil Hendry Show souvenir site, where you can pick up the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt and any one of our Best of the Phil Hendry Show CDs available now. The Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt comes in two colors, and of course it comes in small, medium, large, extra large, extra, extra large. And our Best of the Phil Hendry Show CDs are kind of sweet because we give all the money to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. $20 for the CD, $350 for shipping and handling, and you can help some people. Be a sweet thing, all right? This year's CD is called Bring It, or you can call up and order it, 877-616-7445. The number is 877-616-7445. That's the number to call if you don't have a computer, or if your computer has crashed and is burned like mine, which has been sitting up in my office now for I don't know how many months, sitting there with a monitor that doesn't work, and I'm having to remote access my email and whatever. And my kids are saying, hey, when can I get a new computer? When I get a new computer. That's when you get a new computer. What do you mean? I just got you a computer.
Yeah, I know, but it's the old one, man. The Ruby ran.
What is it with you, man? You guys are so got your noses so into a freaking... Hey, by the way, listen to this. One of my kids the other day, because I told them they couldn't use the computer and they couldn't watch TV, I'd like them to read, right? Well, if they don't have the computer, they don't have the TV, they revert to the entertainment mentality of a three-year-old. One of them, 14 years of age, stuck a metal knife in a wall socket so he could see the sparks. I said, what are you, 14 or 4, man? Go, use your computer.
Thank you.
It's Phil Hendry Show.